1 Samuel 13 and verse 14. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. This evening we are going to look at the last in our series, Love the Lord with All Your Heart, A Man After God's Own Heart. Before we get into the lesson, I just want to say this has been another really good day. We've been having a good month here with the visitors. We didn't have the family visiting this morning, but we had another visitor. I'm meeting with him tomorrow, and please pray that he would be interested in coming and learning more of God's truth. The number of visitors we've had has just been very encouraging, and with the union of Nat and Janice, we're all so happy, and God has looked down on us and blessed us. We have so much to be thankful for. So, lesson number 6. I have enjoyed putting these lessons together. It's hard to believe that this is the 6th lesson on the heart. Again, I think it's one of the most important things that we learn about. Just to review a little bit, and I'd had the news on for just a couple minutes this afternoon, and this commercial was on again. It's always on TV, your Cardia Mobile to check your heart. And again, we have our Cardia Mobile right here, our Bible, to take with us and to check our heart, how it is going, how it is doing all the time. And the second lesson, we learned about God gave them up, and we looked at Romans chapter 1, and about 3 or 4 times it said that God gave them up. And each time God gave them up, what happened? They got worse and worse and worse, and just went down in this downward spiral. That's what happens with our heart. It becomes corrupted. We talked about the heart being the gate to our soul, this gate that we can open, we can close. We need to be sure to open it to God's word. We need to be sure we close it to the things that are in the world that want to come in, which led to the next lesson on a heart of flesh or a heart of stone. Throughout the Old Testament, and when Jesus spoke to those of his time, he often called them stiff-necked. They were hard-hearted. They had let their heart become calloused. We never want to let our heart become calloused. Last week, we talked about surrendering all to Christ. We sing this song often, and are we just saying the words, or is that something that we really mean? So, we looked at the nature of the heart. God gave them up. Transformation and renewal, where we've got to change our heart. When God created us, he created us in his image. That means we had a heart made in his image that was clean and pure and full of love and compassion, mercy toward others. And when we sin, our heart changes, and we have to transform and renew our heart to get it back to have a heart like God's. Again, a heart of flesh or stone, surrendered to God, and now a man after God's heart. So in 1 Samuel 13, 14, the Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. The Lord commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. So was the beginning of the end of the reign of Saul as king in Israel. And again, he started off, people wanted him as king. They didn't want the judges. Saul was selected, and we saw that basically he was a coward. He was not a strong military leader. The inhabitants had more power over Saul than Saul had over the inhabitants of the land. In addition to his unlawful offering of the burnt offerings in chapter 13, Saul later disobeyed the direction of God by sparing King Agag of the Amalekites in chapter 15, and he spared the best of their sheep, oxen, and lambs. God wanted somebody that would follow his heart. He didn't want somebody that wanted to follow his own heart. When we summarize the history of Israel, when Paul did in a sermon delivered at Antioch, Paul said of the Lord, when he had removed him, Saul, he raised up for them David as king, to whom he gave the testimony, saying, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Acts 13:22. This is a wonderful commendation of a man from God himself. And friends, we have to ask ourselves, would God say that about us? Has he found in Bruce Hastings someone that wants to follow him with all his heart? The compliment, a man after my own heart, is one that should characterize every one of us. So what does it mean when the Lord speaks of David as a man after his own heart? It doesn't mean that David was sinless, because we know he committed various sins. We're introduced to a number of sins and the consequences in 2 Samuel. However, it's an affirmation of David's desire to do the things of God. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. Sometimes he slipped, sometimes he failed, sometimes he messed up, but he didn't give up. He had that determination. He was going to serve God. The disposition of his heart was to give faithful service to the Lord, to do all my will. And this is what we need to do, to do all of God's will. And it's so easy for us to do a little of it, or some of it, or most of it. It's hard to do all of it. And again, Saul is the classic example. How did he serve God? Saul served God up to the point that he agreed with what he wanted to do. He was willing to serve God up to the point. And then when God said, utterly destroy them, Saul didn't go along with that. He didn't do all of God's will. So the record of 1 and 2 Samuel revealed the desire of David to serve the Lord. But as though that were not enough, the Psalms time and again express the faith and love unto the Lord. And if we want to learn about the heart of David, a man after God's own heart, and I'm going to refer to this a couple of times throughout the lesson, we need to study Psalm 23, Psalm 51, and Psalm 119. The time that David spent out in the fields with the flock, reflecting on God. And there are many psalms of that period when he had time to meditate and reflect in the things that he wrote. In Psalm 51, which is a prayer of repentance, after he realized that he was guilty of committing adultery with Bathsheba and that sin he'd sinned against God, and killing Uriah and all the consequences that unfolded about that. And we see a man that it's like his heart is laid bare of what he did and how he was feeling. And friends, that's how we need to feel when we sin. And if we don't feel that way, we need to take a look at ourselves and see if we're becoming calloused. And then Psalm 119, and we'll look at that a little bit, but David's relation to the Word, because the stronger we are in the Word, the more it is going to mold our heart, our mind, to be like God's. So we have in David perhaps the most complete picture the Bible gives of any character's faith and service before God. The scriptures show us his love for the scriptures, his desire to communicate with God, wisdom in serving the Lord, a desire to do all what is honorable, even under severe trial, and a longing to praise the Lord. When you think of David, even though he was a man of bloodshed and killed tens of thousands of people, and he was not allowed to build the temple because of all the bloodshed, he had a heart that wanted to please God. He had a servant's heart. And we need to imitate that fervent desire for what is right in the sight of God. And that is evident in King David's life. These character traits are also found in Jesus Christ. Matthew 26, Hebrews 10. And they should be found in every faithful child of God. Not just in David and not just in Christ. But again, if we are children of God, we should have that same heart. So in this study, we want to consider some of the attitudes that David had and encourage all who are Christians to have that same attitude so that we might be a people after God's own heart. So let's start with David loved the word of God. Oh, how I love your law, Psalm 119:97. The psalm expresses the sentiment of one who has a great love for God's word. Psalm 119:47-48. The love for God's word is due to the fact that it protects him from sin. It revives him in affliction. And it gives him great peace of mind. And I want to just for a minute or two, it won't take long, but to point out in this psalm, there are 22 benefits from the Word of God. 22 benefits in each one of these sections. If you turn to Psalm 119, and it is grouped according to the Hebrew alphabet, in these 22 sections, Aleph, L-E-P-H, Beth, Daleth, right on down to the end. But when you start and look at this psalm, in verse 4, we see that God's word establishes our ways. In verse 9 through 11, we see that his word purifies my life. In verse 24, we see that God's word gives counsel. In verse 29, we see that it removes everything false in me. In verse 38, it establishes your word to your servant. It produces reverence for God. Verse 46, it increases courage. Verse 50 through 52, it comforts me in affliction. Verse 61 and 62, it guards me from panic. Verse 66, it teaches me discernment and knowledge. Verse 79, it makes me resourceful. Verse 87, it cultivates patience. Verse 93, it keeps me spiritually recharged. Verse 98-100, it accelerates my understanding. Verse 111, it creates a joyful heart. Verse 116, it sustains me when I feel helpless. Verse 128, it enables me to honor right and hate wrong. Verse 133, it causes me to walk in the truth. Verse 143, it surrounds me with delight in spite of difficulties. Verse 147, it develops the discipline of prayer. Verse 153, it rescues me when I'm helpless, defenseless. Verse 164 and 165, it fills me with praise within and peace without. And lastly, in verse 176, it draws me back when I stray. God's word is amazing, and this psalm is amazing. It was written by David, and it shows not just how much he loved God's word, but why he loved God's word. And when we see all of those things that it can do for us, why would we not love God's word? With all the, you know, we get out of bed tomorrow, hit the ground running, and it's going to be one problem after another that we deal with. Some small, some big, but it's going to be problems because we live in this world. We live in this world of sin. People aren't going to be God-fearing people that we run into. There's this and that's going to go on. And we've got to spend time in God's Word. That's one of the biggest things we can do to mold our heart to be like God's. And I find it interesting, too. You go from Psalm 23, which is a short psalm, to this Psalm 121, which is 176 verses, one of the longest, the longest psalm. And it was written, they were written by the same man. So how is our love for the Word of God? Do we hide it in our heart? Do we find it to be a source of comfort in times of affliction? When you're having a bad day, where do you turn? And you want to go out and do something outside, or you want to do this or that, or you want to open God's Word and read God's Word. Does it give us peace of mind? If not, we should give heed to the instructions of David. We need to spend time in His Word. We need to delight in His Word. We need to learn to meditate on it daily, and then we will be truly blessed. Well, David loved to pray. I will call upon Him as long as I live. Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. His love for prayer was based on the fact that God had answered him before. And as we were talking about in class this morning, God wants us to pray to Him, and He's eager to answer our prayer. There may be a time that we think, what is He waiting for? But God is going to answer us in the best way. And He loves to hear His children keep asking Him. Do we give up? Do we love God enough to keep asking Him? He loves us to keep listening to us. He's never going to turn His ear from us. David loved to pray. It was based on the fact that God had greatly blessed him. It was based on the fact that prayer brought God close to him. You want to get close to God, you spend time in His Word, and you spend time with Him in prayer. How is our love for prayer? Do we humble ourselves? Do we get down on our knees? Do we pour our heart out to God? Have we found it a source of peace which surpasses all understanding? And again, I say it over and over, our prayer service the first Wednesday of the month, I think, is such a good help and blessing and encouragement to each other when we are all praying for each other and we know that everybody is lifting everybody up before God. You aren't going to find that anywhere else in the world. And God, you know who the most powerful people are in the world? And not to get into politics, but since it's an election year, you talk about this world person, this world leader, and that world leader, and they control this and they control that. You know who the most powerful people are in the world? It's God's children. Because we can communicate with God, the creator and ruler of everything, the one that controls everything. We have more power than any president. We have more power than any dictator. We have more power than all of them put together because we are children of God. And that should give us peace. That should give us peace. And no matter what happens to us physically, again, we can have that peace because the only way we are going to enter into God's presence is to leave this world. Do we pray without ceasing? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. How much time did we spend speaking to our Father last week? Are you busier in your day-to-day life than King David was? You know, it's just in me to be busy, and it's hard for me to not be busy. And then I think about some of these Bible characters and David. And as we've been studying in the Old Testament about Saul and David and Solomon, and you think about the kingdoms that they had, all the people that they had their military commanders, they had the priest that was with them, they had all of these people around them, and then they had all of God's people coming to them with their problems, their concerns. He was busy. Did David have time to pray? He made time to pray because he knew how important it was, and he loved to pray. Do we understand our relationship with our Father? Let's look to David to let us instruct us to depend upon prayer for our very preservation. When David was in spots where people were wanting to put him to death, prayer helped get him through that. Well, David loved to praise God. 7 times a day I praise you. Is that literally he would count up to 7? Seven, it's just talking about a complete number throughout the whole day, the complete day. 7 times a day I praise you. His life was full of praise. We've got to be careful that we don't get into a routine where we don't even think about God, and then Sunday rolls along and, oh, I'll praise God on Sunday, and then Monday we go back to living for me and forget to praise God. He praised God because of his righteous judgments. He praised God because of his greatness and loving kindness. And again, you think about Psalm 23 and God being our shepherd and us being his sheep and how he takes care of us, and we don't have to worry. He was determined to sing praises as long as he lived. Psalm 104:33. And this is a sweet thought. David was determined to sing praises to God as long as he lived. And what would happen after he died? Well, he would go to paradise. And then once there's the judgment and he would be in heaven, what would he be doing? Singing praises around the throne of God for time without end. And again, friends, if we don't love doing that now, nothing is going to click in us when we die that, oh, I love to do that now. And if we don't love doing it now, do you think that God is going to want us in his presence when, again, we just be mocking God to just say the words and not have the meaning in our heart? He wants a heart that, this isn't the right phrase, but a heart that beats with his heart, that loves the things that he loves, that hates the things that he hates. And that's where we get in a problem with sin, is where we love most of the things that God loves. We hate most of the things that he hates, but we don't hate everything that he hates. And then Satan, again, uses that as a back door to get into our heart. And then, just like that apple, that rotten apple, that corruption spreads and spreads and spreads. Do we love to praise God? Do we delight in singing praises to God in song? Do we take time to praise God in our prayers? And again, back to class this morning, when the 10 lepers were cleansed and the one, what did he do? He glorified God with a loud voice. People knew that he was praising God. David's words to encourage us in this activity, Psalm 147:1, thus it is becoming for those who profess to be children of God to praise their heavenly Father. How often do we do that? How many times, when I think back on last week, how many times did I praise God? And again, I think we've gotten away from that in part, and we can't use this as an excuse, because this was, thinking about it, this was decades and decades and decades ago when the Praise the Lord movement came out, and we thought, well, we can't say praise the Lord. People will think we belong to some crazy group, and we quieted down. But we need to praise God and let people know that we praise God. David loved unity among the brethren. Behold how good and pleasant it is, Psalm 133:1. David knew the value of good friendship and unity. as exemplified in the relationship he had with Jonathan. He also knew the terrible pain of division within a family. And you think David's, on one hand, David's heart, it beat in step with God's heart. And when it didn't and he sinned, David, his heart was tender enough that he would repent and turn back. And then there is that part of his heart, you know, just had to be torn up when he, with all the fighting, the murder of his children, the murder of innocent life, his sons, the overthrow for the kingdom, all of this, these battles going on where there wasn't unity. And friends, we need to love unity. We need to love unity in the church. And we need to demonstrate that. And do we love unity enough to pay the price? We've got to display the proper attitudes necessary to preserve the unity of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul wrote, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling of which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So we have to have this attitude, this heart, this lowly heart, this gentle heart, this long-suffering heart, bearing with one another. When we approach someone, but then we also cannot be a coward, and we must call those out that cause division. Romans 16:17. If we are silent, if someone is dividing the church, if someone is not teaching the truth, and we are silent, we are giving approval to what they are saying. And then we don't love unity. We don't love unity because that's division, because you have the truth and you have a lie. Anything that is not the truth is going to be a lie, and Satan is going to fill our head with lies. David hated every false way. Psalm 119:104. His hatred was based upon his understanding of God's precepts. And I think, this is a I think point. I think one of the reasons we don't hate every false way is because we have not grasped the severity of the punishment for when we sin against God. Well, this is just a private sin. Who's it going to hurt? This, nobody knows about this sin. Who's it going to hurt? Friends, I tell you, the number one person it hurts is God, because God knows about it. We're sinning against God. He knows that it is, as his children, it is damaging our heart. And I think if we realize the consequences, so this morning I was going to do 7 lies that Satan tells everybody, 7 lies that Satan wants you to believe. But because of the visitor, I changed the sermon to what I preached on this morning. But one of the lies Satan wants us to believe is that you are going to be the exception to everybody else. You're going to be the exception. You take whatever it is, smoking, drinking, this or that. So many, you know, one in so many people are going to get lung cancer from smoking. But Bruce, you're going to be the exception. You can do this and you're going to get away with it. It's not going to bother you. Bruce, you can go out and go to the casino and have a fun time, and you're not going to get addicted. You can walk away from it anytime you want. And there are all of these lies, and we don't hate those ways because we think that we're Superman. Satan's going to come after us and he's just going to bounce off of us. No, and especially if we don't have a heart that loves everything that God loves and hates everything that he hates. So what's our attitude toward false ways? And with this too, I'm talking about sins in the world out there, but we've got to look at what's being taught in the church. What's being taught and what is absent from being taught. Because if you just get this, this, and this, and you don't get look out for this and look out for this, and we need to be working on that, we aren't getting a true picture of what God wants us to learn. Are we soft or compromising? Do we realize that we are involved in a battle over the souls of men and are not to think lightly of that which is false? 2 Corinthians 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We're in a battle. And Paul here uses military terminology, bringing every thought into captivity. We got to capture those thoughts that want to get into our heart, and we need to keep them captive and protect our heart. While we are to love the sinner, we must hate the sin. So back to Psalm 78, 70 and 72, he chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From the care of the ewes with the suckling lambs, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with his skillful hands. He took David, took him out of the pasture with the sheep, and put him in charge of overseeing. God put David in charge of overseeing his people because of the heart that he had. Would God do that with us? And note again, it was said concerning David that he was one who will do all my will. We've got to be willing to surrender all of our heart to God. Not some of it or most of it, but all of it. Because he was a man after God's own heart and had all these attributes that we've considered, God was confident that David would do all that God asked of him. Thus, it requires all of the attributes to motivate one to be faithful to all that God may ask. How about us? Are we motivated to do all of God's will? And again, it's sad, but you just see over the years a softening on preaching, a softening of speaking out about sin and error, a softening of speaking out against what's going on in the world. Let's not come together. Let's not assemble as many times, and we come up with a list of excuses why. And then we just drift farther and farther away from God's word. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And one of the best ways, besides praying to God throughout the day, praising God throughout the day, spending time in his word throughout the day, one of the best ways to build up our heart, to protect it against the onslaught of Satan, is to spend as much time as we can with other Christians. Spend as much time as we can face to face. If it's not in the assembly, it's good throughout the week to spend time with another Christian. You bump into somebody through the week that you didn't expect to see, and oh, code. It's good to see you. And Nat, it's good to see you. Jim, it's good to see you. And it just lifts your spirits, because we know we are God's people doing, striving to do His will and to put Him first. And it is so different than the world and the denominations that are out there, that everybody's going to die and everybody's going to go to heaven and you just love Jesus and everything's fine. Satan has sold them lies and they believe it, and it's sad. So with all your heart, David loved the Word of God. David loved to pray. David loved to praise God. David loved unity. David hated every false way. How about you? How about me? Do we have a heart that is going to be pleasing to God? Again, back to where we started. We're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. When we learn to do that, it's going to help us to avoid so many problems in life. It's going to guarantee us so many blessings in life. And it's going to guarantee us that when we get through this life, we've got one waiting for us on the other side. Friends, if there's anyone this evening that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.